720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show. I know what you're saying. Steve, I thought you were off today. Well, kind of. But David Hochberg's here. David and I both share a passion for veterans' causes because we did not serve the country specifically as enlisted men, but we serve the country now and doing our best to promote causes and pay it forward in any way we can. So in this special program, you're going to meet some interesting people, some people we'd like you to know more about, some people we'd like you to contribute to, whether it be cash or time or word of mouth. David, on this Memorial Day, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, Steve, I've never served, like you said, and as a father of three young girls, it means a lot more to me than when I talk to families who have men and women serving our country and fighting for our country, because when my girls go to school and until I see them come home at night, I'm nervous that, you know, something bad is going to happen. I couldn't even imagine having them board a plane and go to a foreign country and have a chance to lose their life or a limb or something like that while serving our country. And, you know, when I talk to these men and women that have got kids out there serving and protecting our country and our liberties, it just adds a little special, just a little special cause when they call me for help. It warms my heart.
Right. And I do want to say you're a generous guy. And if somebody's listening who has served in any capacity, mm-hmm. or there's a family member and you have a financial question, sure. Not only are you open to it, you want them to call you.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not going to cost them any money.
Nothing.
You just want to do this as another way for you to pay it forward.
You just let me hear your situation. I have a ton of resources that I could introduce you to some people. Just the other day, Steve, I introduced a couple to the bankruptcy attorneys that I work with because they were $60,000 in debt and had no way of getting out. I'm not making anything on that. It's just go get some help, right? Another person called me, said, hey, I've got a couple IRS tax liens. How can you help me? I was serving and I got a little behind. How can I help you? I introduced them to my tax guy, Stephen A. Leahy, who is helping them with their tax, you know, with their tax liens. There are services out there, and I've been fortunate enough to meet so many different people that could help you better yourselves and better your family. So, and again, I'm not making any money on it. I'm just doing it to help people better themselves.
Small way where you can pay it forward, and we do the same here by introducing you to some very interesting people you're going to meet in the next hour or so. David Hochberg, again, your phone number for any vet or veteran's family that needs a little financial help or just has a question?
My direct line is 312-751-1333. And, of course, you can always go to WGNDavid.com.
Special Memorial Day get-together here with my friend David Hochberg, and it's brought to you in part by Wintrust Community Banks.
Our guest is Deb Rickert of Operation Support Our Troops. She runs an amazing organization that supplies care packages to the men and women in forward bases fighting for our country, and we'd like to bring up Deb here. Deb, how are you?
Deb, nice to have you on the show. Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again. Deb and I actually met back when I was on WIND because Deb has been doing these care packages for a while, and the big Rockin' the Troops concert is a huge thing that you do a really nice job of promoting, so I salute you for that.
Thank you. Well, it's been a great partnership with a lot of great people, and it's so encouraging and refreshing to know how people really still care about our service members that are away from home all year round.
So I'm going to have Mr. Hochberg ask you about the box, as I call it, in just a second. But first, I want to know about your kids who are military members.
Well, they are now veterans. As of just almost a year, they both got out and are pursuing careers and lives. And so, you know, I'm sleeping a little better at night, but...
Yeah, safe.
Not a whole lot.
Safe and healthy, they may be veterans, but they're always military to me.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, with Memorial Day approaching, that's when I become more aware, too, of their grief, you know. And I think we think about Memorial Day as a day to celebrate our military, and that's all great. But it's really a day to remember, and our military, you know, whether they're active duty or they're veterans, they've all lost. And so they grieve on that day as well. So I'm really mindful of that as this week approaches.
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. And David, how did you come to know Deb?
I met her at the same golf outing at the WIND golf outing. They asked me to work it. I always do a 50-50 raffle on one of the holes.
Yep.
And I met Deb and her son, who was a ranger, right? Wasn't your son?
He was a ranger, and as I recall, you taught him how to drive a golf cart.
Yeah, the kid could command a platoon, but this
man, he couldn't drive,
a freaking golf cart to save his life. I'm like, dude, just put it in drive. He's going around. He's making donuts. I'm glad you got out of the military.
Well, let's be honest. He's driving looking for the enemy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's no enemy. He's going around in circles. I'm like, hey, I'm like, buddy, I'm over here.
Got his head on a swivel.
Oh, I'm busting his chops left. You can only imagine.
He was not at all concerned about this big, bad Army Ranger who he was busting.
That's tremendous.
He could have taken me down with like his pinky, and I'm just ripping him. So I had a box there. We raised like $3,000.
Yeah,
it was great.
And I picked up a box. I have a box in front of us, one of the care packages that Deb and her organization sends out. And Deb, how did this care package come about? Where did this idea come from? And just take our listeners through how this idea was created and where it is today.
Well, you know, I think like so many great efforts that start with just a little, you know, one person and a little idea, and then, you know, other people join in, and that's what we do as Americans. You know, we give back. And so in February 2003, I decided to send some Valentine's things for troops that were already serving. My son, my oldest son, Dan, had started at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. So it would be a few years before he was in danger. But, you know, suddenly I was so aware of all those around me who were in this world. And so I just started collecting some little items with my church and having people write letters. And so Valentine's Day came and went, and people kept dropping stuff off at my house and writing more letters. And I'm like, well, oh, okay, well, we'll just send that. And then it took over my house, and a Vietnam veteran friend of mine had a warehouse and said, well, do you want to use my warehouse for a couple months? And, you know, of course, that was 14 years ago, and we're still using his warehouse. But, you know, again, at the time, yeah, I remember saying to him, well, yeah, I mean, how, you know, a little shock and awe, and we're out of there, right? How long can this last? And here we are 14 years later, and even though my boys are out, you know, between them they had 8 deployments. And so, you know, there's still, we have a trickle going now, and it would be amusing if it wasn't so scary, you know, that this 250 here and 250 there, so that we actually as a country don't really think that we still have our young men and women overseas and in harm's way. So we are still continuing with this effort 14 years later because it's still so necessary.
What about the emotional, you know, you think a mail call from all the old war movies. What about the emotional impact of getting something like this from home?
Exactly. And we hear about that. We have literally reams of letters that have come back, because one of the things we decided early on was that every box would go out with a name on it. It wouldn't go to a unit to be distributed. It would go with a service member's name on, so that they would hear their name. And a lot of the names and addresses that we get come from the chaplains over there, who will tell us, hey, you know, this guy's not getting any mail. You know, can you show him some love and some support? And so we do. And, you know, you can go on our website. If your listeners have someone who's serving, or go on our website, there's a place where you can add a name and an address, and we'll get boxes out to those persons. But, you know, it's just so important that when we have when someone has a son or daughter, husband, wife, mother, father, whatever, in harm's way, that should be personal to everybody, because we're Americans, and it's not just my son or daughter, it's everyone's son and daughter. So it should, you know, I've maintained that for all these years, that it shouldn't just be personal to me. And now that my boys are out, it shouldn't be any less personal for me. So
how can the listeners get involved in helping your organization out, Deb?
Well, you know, you can go on our website. Especially now, we are running low on items to send. We buy some of the things we put in the packages, but we feel very strongly that the donated items are what really matters, because it keeps everybody involved. If, you know, if I'm going to the grocery store and I have my son on a deployment, I'm shopping for stuff to put in his package. And wouldn't it be nice if every American said, hey, every time I go to the grocery store, I'm going to buy one or two items and drop them off at a collection site, and let, you know, these Americans know that the citizens of that they're serving, you know, remember them and are willing to support them. So go on our website. Of course, you can always, each package that we send costs about $30 in postage. So we're very good customers of the United States Post Office. So you can always, you know, sponsor a box with a $30 donation to Operation Support Our Troops. We have a 90% program ratio, because we do have other programs now for veterans and families of fallen service members. So 90 cents out of every dollar goes directly to our program. We maintain very little overhead, which we're really proud of. And that's mainly because of so many great volunteers that work so hard for our effort.
And I think it's important for the listeners to realize, Steve, is that we have a box in front of us. And the items in here include Band-Aids,
yep,
toothbrush,
right,
Girl Scout cookies, ramen noodles, tuna fish, eye drops, Advil, Aleve, peanut butter jelly, Gold Bond medicated powder, which I use on a regular basis.
And yeah, but that's your personal life.
I understand.
It's not, Deb, you know, you can speak to this. It's not like these guys can be in the middle of camp whatever
and go,
hey, I'm going over the Walgreens.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Sure. And, you know, in the kind of the peak years, some of the bigger bases did have PXs. And all of that is gone, you know, it was just some of the big ones. My son was on a combat outpost where, you know, they had nothing. And so all of that is gone now. Most of our troops that are over there are in very remote places. And so to get these packages means so much, and more than the items that are in them. And, you know, I always say, no matter what your financial circumstances are, you can write a letter. And that is as important as anything else that's in that package. A note from a stranger that says, I pray for you every day. I think about you. I'm grateful that you are over there so that I can be here and enjoy my Memorial Day picnic, or, you know, whatever. So anyone can write a letter, and our address, our mailing address is also on our website, so you can send that to us, and we'll be sure that it gets put into a package.
Should folks go to the American website, or is there an Illinois website separately?
No, it's osotamerica.org.
And in a business that's all acronyms all the time, OSOT, O-S-O-T, osotamerica.org gets it done, and you will be doing a big part of this. All right, as far as volunteers go, I remember from talking to you previously, getting people to contribute is huge, but getting people to pack these boxes is a big deal, too. How are you doing in that regard?
Well, we're doing well, but we can always use more. And I think it's a great way also for people who are military family members. That was one of the things we stumbled upon in this effort, was it provided a place for people to go. You know, let's face it, I live in Naperville. There weren't a lot of people who understood what my life had suddenly become, because there wasn't a military base nearby us. And so the support efforts that are out there and military bases weren't really available for people like my husband and myself. So when you come into our warehouse to pack a box, you know, chances are you're going to be around other people who understand. And even if they're not directly affected, you know, we get a lot of Vietnam veterans in there. We get a lot of children, you know, adult children of Vietnam veterans, because they too feel like suddenly there's a place where people understand. So we, you know, go on our website. There's information about how you can become a volunteer. There's all kinds of great efforts that we're involved in, and we would love to have your listeners join in.
You know what I'm going to do, Steve?
You're going to do what?
I'm going to go, in all seriousness, I'm going to go to, I'm friends with the principal at Glenbrook North, and I'm going to go to Glenbrook North and see if he can get me into Glenbrook South and just have a day, and just have a Operation Support Our Troop day, where the high school kids go out, collect items.
Oh, that'd be great.
To put in. It'd be great PR.
That would be great.
That's what I'm going to do.
The energy of the kids.
High schools. Yeah, a lot of the high schools over the years have been very actively involved and big supporters. And, you know, they too see, you know, kids that they were friends with, you know, that are maybe a year or two older that are suddenly overseas. And so that makes it real for them as well. And, you know, also just the idea that we want our young people to understand that there's, you know, a bigger place in this world besides their little corner of it. And this, I think, is a great way to do that, to be able to write a letter to a service member overseas. And they respond, by the way. You know, when you write a letter, if you put in an address or an email for them to respond to, they will.
Yeah.
They really appreciate that. And I just think it makes such a nice connection for young people to know what's, you know, to be personally involved in what's happening in the world.
Last word for you, David.
Yeah, if you had to rank in the top three or four items that the men and women out in the fields like the most, what would the top three or four items be, Deb?
Well, I think what they, over the years, the number one has always been the beef jerky, and it's
sure.
been pretty consistent.
It keeps,
they
and it's tasty.
Yeah, well, and those, the MREs, you know, that they get the meals ready to eat, the kind of the freeze-dried stuff, they're very oversaturated in carbohydrates for obvious reasons. But I think the protein items are just in a good balance. They just feel good and taste good for them. Okay. So protein items are always a hit.
It's OSOT, Operation Support Our Troops. OSOTAmerica.org, and there's fundraisers all year long, but there's a million ways you can help, and of course your donation is always appreciated as well, and you can do that online, and Deb appreciates it, and we do, and on Memorial Day, this is another great way to pay it forward for all of us as we remember what Memorial Day is about. It's not just families and softball games and barbecues. It's remembering those who have come before us and those who we have lost in service to this country so that we can have those barbecues and softball games and fun. So, Deb, thank you for your time as always and continued success.
Thank you so much, you guys, and enjoy your holiday weekend.
Alan J. Lynch is standing by, and David Hochberg is here. Explain to us who Mr. Lynch is.
Mr. Lynch is a Medal of Honor recipient, and he started the Alan J. Lynch Foundation, which helps veterans in need of financial aid.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I served from 1964, November, when I was just a wee lad, to 1969, April 25th, 1969. And then when I went into the Garden Reserve program and completed 21 years. I retired as a first sergeant. I spent about a year and a half in Germany and a year in Vietnam, and came home in 1968 after, you know, having been in combat and all of that. And then I earned the Medal of Honor, which was awarded to me in 1970.
And the other day we had the opportunity to speak with Clint Romachet, a fellow Medal of Honor recipient after time in Afghanistan as well. You're a special breed. You're a special family. There's not many of you.
No. There's more of us now than there was, but I don't know if that's a good thing. I you know, just hate to see this constant need we have to fight wars. But, you know, when you get people that want to blow up civilians and, you know, destroy freedom like these terrorists do, then we have to fight.
The circumstances that these vets who come home find themselves in when they fall on financial hard times, is that just they're young kids and they don't quite know what they're doing and they're trying to readjust, or are we not doing enough when we bring our vets home?
We're not doing enough when we bring them home. You know, there's so much that needs to be done. And, the problem is the military in general, the VA and the government in general, they have all of these wonderful, you know, sayings, your best bet, help a vet, you know, and all of that. But what they do is they bureaucratize stuff. You know, it's kind of like, they talk about transition. The problem is how do you get it from these beautiful sayings, soldier for life or Marine for life or whatever it is. How do you get that down to that young person or the veterans that has been out of the service for a few years that really needs the help? How do you get it from the platitudes down to putting food on the table and rent and, you know, getting that paid, getting a better job, getting better training and all of that? And that's where we fall down on things.
Yeah, it's not just words. It's not just words. It bureaucratize anything, and somebody has to work through paperwork, Hell, they just came home after serving their country. Now they got to find somebody to help them to figure out what form they have to fill out. It's completely maddening. David?
Well, the Alan J. Lynch Foundation, Alan told me a story that a veteran was overseas and had to find his way home. And he needed money, and he couldn't get money anywhere else. And Alan's foundation stepped in to help buy a plane ticket so he could make it home for his family crisis. And on this day, on this Memorial Day, Steve, we've been talking about it throughout the entire show, is that, you know, it's a day off for a lot of people. It's a barbecue day.
Sure.
It's a getaway day. It's a let's go see a ball game day. And for, you know, when it comes to a veteran like Alan, I love to know, Alan, in your own words, what does, you know, this Memorial Day mean for you and for the men and women that you serve with?
Well, for me personally, it's a time that I reconnect. You know, I really don't like being wished a happy Memorial Day. It's not a happy Memorial Day.
It is a weird thing when you hear that, right? Because people
yeah.
mean well, but happy Memorial Day always sounds funny.
Yeah, and we're honoring our fallen. You know, you've got Gold Star families that have lost, you know, sons and daughters and sure. husbands and wives and all of this, and you go, happy Memorial Day, like Merry Christmas.
Right.
You know?
It's just, it doesn't fit.
It's not right, right?
It doesn't fit. You know, it's a time, I think, that not only we veterans, but our country, we need to, you know, as a lot of us decorate graves and we go out and we put a flag at the grave, what we need to do is we need to understand that, you know, Memorial Day is a time for us to really say thank you to the men and women that have died protecting this country, that have
right.
died serving this country.
Right.
And that's not just in combat. You know, that's in peacetime. That is in any situation where a person puts on the uniform. And if it's a training accident, that death is just as impactful as any other death. You know, whether it's in combat or training or whatever it is, that person died serving this country. And we need to remember that, and we need to honor that.
Your organization also has a staff of veteran service officers that I'd never heard of before until your guy, Jeff Matheny, shot me an email, and we just started talking. Can you tell our listening audience what a veteran service officer is, what they do, and what a valuable service they provide to veterans?
A good veteran service officer is probably the best thing that a veteran has going for him or her. A good veteran service officer is proactive in not only helping a veteran file a claim for disability from the VA if they need to, but is fully knowledgeable of VA benefits, but also state benefits. You know, like this new tax thing that we have. If you are a veteran and you're disabled, you're service connected, and you're 100%, you don't have to pay property taxes.
Right.
That's a big deal.
It's a really big deal.
And some service officers don't know that because they don't keep up to speed, while a real good service officer is like a walking encyclopedia.
It's a kind of a concierge for their life. You know, it's an assistant to help them wade through all the questions they might have, including questions they might not even know they have yet.
Well,
exactly. And a good service officer will be able to conduct an interview like Jeff does, and my friend Mike Peck up here in Lake County. I'm assistant superintendent of Lake County Veterans Assistance Commission. And when I was doing, you know, veteran service officer work, I am a little bit old for it now because it takes a little bit of a sharper, younger brain to keep up with all of the changes. But well, a good service officer does an interview. It's not just let me put paperwork in. It's, you know, you conduct a full interview. You know, what's going on with you? What happened to you in the military? How old are you? You know, do you have dependent children? You know, it's this full service kind of thing. If, oh, by the way, you're 60% disabled, well, you can get a property tax break. Oh, did you know you can go to school under the GI Bill in Illinois and get your tuition free if you enlisted and returned to the state? Those kinds of things are what service officers should be doing, and a good service officer does that, and there's a lot of them out there that are good. There's some of them out there that are not so good.
And I will tell you what your staff did for one of my realtor's father. Served in Vietnam, was one of those guys, he would go in the basement and cry. He'd wake up in the middle of the night with PTSD. For 30-some years, he never sought help. It was more than over 40 years, never sought help. He met Alan and he met Jeff on my show, and Lauren took her father from Bourbonnais to Rockford to meet with this guy. He scratched and screamed and cried all the way. He's like, you know, there's other guys out. How many times have you heard this, Alan?
Yeah, there's other guys who need this.
Other guys out there that need it more. I'm okay. Give it to the next guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got him in the car, drove him from Bourbonnais to Rockford, 90 mile, whatever the heck it is. He was he got rated. Jeff rated him 70% service-related disability. No more real estate taxes on his home in Bourbonnais. Gone. He was able to get a monthly disability stipend from the VA for his disability, and he's getting treatment for the PTSD that he's lived with for over 40 years.
Which is the most important part, and it's changing his life.
It's huge. Yeah. And organizations like Alan, like Alan's, the Alan J. Lynch Foundation, help these veterans out there get the services that they need and get rated properly, Steve. That's the whole key. The veterans out there need to get rated properly to get the proper money and the proper services that is out there. It's just sitting there to get.
Right.
Go get it, for God's sake.
And the thing, I want to plug Jeff a little bit. This man, I had the good fortune of meeting him about, has to be about, 8 years ago, or I think maybe 5 or 6 years. Anyway, it's been a while back, and I'm old, and I forget. But I trained him a little bit. This man has such a passion to help veterans. He does 3 days a week at the Rockford outpatient clinic. He's had veterans travel for, your friend from Bourbonnais all the way up to see him, because some service officers just treat it as a job, where Jeff, it's a passion with him. You know, we have service officers that are too busy to answer a phone, or if they're too busy to actually do a good interview. And when you see Jeff, you're going to get a full interview, and you're going to get you're going to get a guy that really gives a crap about what's going on with your life and really wants to help. And when you find a service officer like that, you really want to do everything you can to keep them, because boy, to have that kind of passion is something you don't see all the time.
It's the AJLynchFoundation.org. That's the website. AJLynchFoundation.org. You can help there. You can learn more there. There's a couple of events coming up as well.
Yeah, we have Sporting Clays June 3rd.
Yeah, so that's right around the corner. So you can help. Yeah. That's just a few days away.
Yeah.
And listen, it's an honor to meet you or re-meet you in my case. And I couldn't be more proud to tell people I know you. And for all the great work you're doing, thank you, and I'm sure David agrees.
Yeah, enjoy your Memorial Day.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All the best, sir.
Thank you for your service, buddy.
You too.
Well, it is always nice to see my friend and yours, David Hochberg, Mark Doyle, in studio. I forgot, did you introduce me to Doyle, or did I introduce you to
Doyle? You introduced me to Doyle.
That's right. I must be a genius.
You are.
Mark Doyle is the proud proprietor of Rags of Honor, and on this Memorial Day, we wanted to take the opportunity, as we remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and remember those who are no longer with us, so we can have our barbecues and our fun, to tell you how you can actually help veterans. Help veterans that have come close to the edge and have gone down to an area that's really difficult and a place that you'd never want to be. And that's taking homeless vets off the street, giving them a job, and restarting their life. That's Rags, right?
It is Rags. You'd said it better than I could.
And Rags is a company that makes what?
We are a silkscreen and apparel company, and we are, to my knowledge, the only company in the country that is a custom silk screen shop and an apparel shop devoted to hiring homeless veterans. So we do work for restaurants all over town, for the Big Ten, for the Chicago Blackhawks, of course. And then we have our own branded line that we sell at our online store. And so, you know, I think of us more than a silk screen shop. We are a brand. We only buy American, and we only use veteran labor.
And you have had how many homeless vets come through the company to date?
36 to date.
And of those 36, now this is the thing, and Mark, and you know this, David, mm-hmm. Mark is always honest about this. Mark will tell you, there are some guys who come in, who are going to come in for a couple days, and for whatever reason, they're going to leave.
Yeah.
And maybe they come back. And if they come back, they're going to get a second chance. And maybe they leave again. But your door is open to help homeless vets, and the stories that you have of people like, for instance, Tamika,
sure.
With a couple of kids who were sleeping in the car, who's now got a life.
Yeah. Put her life back on track. Frank, who deployed to Afghanistan, came back, was in school, government shut down, lost his school funding, lost money for housing, living in the back of a VFW. Mike, who's working for me, he's been with me for a year, until 45 days ago, was still homeless. and I didn't know it, and he didn't want to complain. And so I asked him, he looked a little tired, Are you sleeping?
Yeah.
He said, well, you know, I'm still in the shelter, so he now has an apartment. But this is a group who, they don't complain. They're not looking for a handout. You know, they just want to work.
And they're hard workers.
Hard workers. Mike, and in fact, the last 6 weeks, things have been a little slow, and we've been a little bit tight. So I found out that my crew has been punching out at 4:30, but work until 6:30 or 7 to get the jobs done.
I didn't even know that.
Did not even know that.
Wow.
He said, boss, we know we've been a little bit tight, but we want to let you know we punched out at 4:30. These are guys who are two paychecks away from being back on the street. That's the caliber of people. And so, yeah, we've had a couple of swings and misses. We've had some were just temporary hires who I knew they were just going to be with us for a month or 6 weeks.
But the vast majority of these 30-plus so far have come in and they've turned their life around.
All but two have left in a better place.
It's amazing. Rags of Honor is where you go. The website, ragsofhonor.org, to order these beautiful shirts. Well, you know, here's what you don't know. Oh. .org, .us, .whatever, all will get you there.
They actually do. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You are right.
Yeah. You can buy a T-shirt and help a homeless vet today. You can buy a hat. You can do any number of things, including check out the programs and the store here. There's Blackhawks branded and merchandise as well, because they're great partners, as you said.
Yeah.
But we want you to go to Rags of Honor and do it. David Ockberg.
There's 8 million people in the Chicago metropolitan area, okay? And there are business owners. There are people that play on softball teams. There are people that play on bowling teams. There are people that have family outings that go and get shirts made up, go and get hats made up, go and get any type of apparel made up, and you do all that. And the thing that blows my mind, I have a radio show on another station, and I needed shirts, and of course I called you up. I didn't even price you out. I'm like, Mark, I want to buy, you know, 500 shirts. I want this. You're like, Dave, this is what it's going to cost. I gave you my Visa, and boom, we put it through.
That's amazing.
It blows my mind for the listeners out there that work in companies that order stuff all the time, that they don't take 5 seconds to just give you a call and give you the opportunity. It's not so much, even if you're 5 or 10 cents a shirt higher, which you won't be, but even if you are, just keeping the money locally and taking these veterans off the streets and giving them something to do and giving them a purpose so you're not tight, so they don't have to work 2 hours or 3 hours a day and not tell you to keep the doors open. What do we have to do as a community? Because, and you started this as basically a test lab here in Chicago, which you want to roll out throughout the United States. How could we as Chicagoans, this listening audience, WGN listeners, help support you a lot better than we're doing now to keep those machines running full-time 24/7 and hire more men and women off the streets?
Great question. And one of the things we all know about the WGN listening audience is within hours and sometimes within minutes, when I'm on this station, the phone.
When you're on the Steve Cochran show?
Yeah, when I'm on the Steve Cochran show, for sure. Better than, and I've done other shows around the city. Nobody moves the needle like Steve Cochran. Nobody.
That's because this audience is smart, attractive people who care.
And so what we need to do a better job of is, I don't have a salesman. Like, I'm it. So imagine we're taking men and women out of shelters and their cars and trying to get them stabilized and have them a good place to come. So I don't even have somebody on the street selling. So what we'd ask people to do is go to our website, tell 5 friends, tell your boss, post something on Facebook and say, anybody out there looking for T-shirts, any companies looking for T-shirts,
I love that idea. Yeah, go social with it. Go to ragsofhonor.us, copy the link, and post it on your Facebook and your Twitter.
And one of the things I found out, this tells you how just technologically unsavvy I am. On the .org site, we have a donate page.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that all these times I've been on your show, because somebody else set it up for me, mm-hmm. people have been going and donating. So all of you out there, I just found out this morning, we've got about $5,000 waiting to be put into
the company
on the .org side. And I've got 2 vets who are moving into a new place. And so the time, it's like a miracle, frankly.
And the reason that Mark wouldn't be checking that website is because he's managing his people, trying to find additional funds for the company, and juggling his own business as well. So it goes to what David just asked you. How do you help? Simple. You buy a shirt, you post the link on Twitter. You buy a shirt, you post the link on LinkedIn. You buy a shirt, you post the link on Facebook. Or if you prefer, buy five shirts and do that.
Please.
Just because we're already into softball season and baseball season, whatever. Won't be long, we'll be back into soccer season.
Sure.
You know, the schools ought to be looking at this. Everybody ought to be looking at this. But one of the things I wanted you to address, other than all of this about Rags of Honor, you were in Afghanistan.
I was.
You lived in a locker.
I did.
You were there for your business, which was contracted with the government,
right,
to try and find the bad guy's money.
Yep.
Because Afghanistan, well, it hasn't been financially a great success for us.
Not really the bellwether for us.
Right, right.
To so, point to as a success story for the last, 150 years.
Right. There was a bit of a history book we could have looked at before we did it, but that's another story. So President Karzai, who is no longer President Karzai, had a brother who was the black sheep of the family.
Mahmoud.
And Mahmoud was infamous for executing deals on the black market that involved a lot of U.S. cash. So you go over there with the idea you're going to go through and forensically account for this money. In the midst of that, your opinion on what we were doing and how we were doing changed. Take me through that.
The job was as part of Task Force 2010. Task Force 2010 was set up by Admiral Mullen at the behest of Stanley McChrystal, who was the four-star running the U.S. participation there. They knew that billions were being extorted, mostly off the supply chains.
Billions.
Billions.
Right.
But also in the contracting process.
And part of the reason, not to interrupt you, but you explained this to me, part of the reason is there's no central banking system, so the money in country would come in as pallets. Think of a Costco for cash.
Yeah.
Pallets of cash, right?
Think of a C-130, which is a cargo plane, which is so big it can hold a helicopter.
Right.
Filled to the brim with pallets of cash in a country who, prior to that, the average wage daily is $5 a day. Fast forward, we are cramming billions through the pipeline. There are only 17 banks in all of the country. There are three bank examiners. So there's no infrastructure to support those
17 banks in the entire country.
Yeah.
And also in a society that lives on a monetary transfer system, which I believe is called the Wahali.
Yeah, Wahala.
Wahala, where.
Hawala.
Hawala, you're right, Hawala. Where if I wanted to transfer money to David, and I knew you in another town, I would contact you and say, I want to get money to David. You would then get it to David. There'd be no paper record of it. It would just be, I contacted you. Now I owe you this money, and you would eventually get it one way or another.
Yeah.
And that is banking in Afghanistan.
For 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That's how that's been done. And
so you flood that kind of cash in. What do you expect?
It's legal to take cash out of the country because legitimate business is done there, but in order to get your cash back to your country, you have to sign a form, take the cash out, right? Because the banks, you don't know what's going to happen to it. So Mahmoud was part of Kabul Bank. They tried to Americanize it. So as billions are pouring in, companies are setting up accounts, and they entice the local people who are now starting to make a decent wage to open bank accounts. Out the back door, Mahmoud and the board were buying property over in Palm Jumeirah, which is in Dubai. Market crashes. All the money's gone. All the deposits gone. No backstop. So the one experiment that we did to try and show these people how to have an American-type banking system, total failure. And by the way, the U.S. Treasury would not backstop the bank. They needed $300 million. They got it from the Hawaladares. That's how much cash they had.
So the punchline here, kids, is, and this is not about politics, this is fact-based. You eyewitnessed this.
Yeah.
The punchline here is, you can't have an Americanized, westernized democracy in a country that has no centralized banking system and no way to collect taxes.
And right, and that, as you know, I wrote about it for the Tribune. In my view, they did it backwards. There's no rule of law. There's no strong central government, there's no banking system, and there's no revenue collection systemic process. So we have no rule of law. We have no way to adjudicate, and we have no way to collect taxes. You tell me how you build a democratic society, and you tell me why you keep cramming billions, and they are still doing it. They have closed.
We're over $1 trillion in Afghanistan. And
over
Iraq.
$1 trillion.
Yeah.
$1 billion a month to clothe, feed, and train the Afghan army and police. And where do you think all their uniforms come from? China. You think maybe we could have just found a uniform company here just to show that, you know what, yes, we're going to send $1 billion, but we're going to employ 300 people making uniforms back here. Nope. All of it made in China. And so that was the genesis.
You take it full circle. You come home. And by the way, I don't want to give people the wrong impression. You weren't jaded about the process. You were inspired by the process try to do something good with what you learned there. So you come home. What's more offensive than you coming home from that and seeing men and women who served there coming home and not having a home, being homeless on the street? You know, regardless of whether or not the mission was ill-founded and stupid, frankly, in a lot of ways, how could we not provide places for them to live or services to keep them from hitting a point where they were homeless, thus rags of honor?
Now 15 years, but at the time 11 years, two wars, multiple deployments, the VA is overworked, the Treasury is broke, the Department of Defense is spending all their money to really keep the Army running. There just isn't enough money. And people started falling through the cracks. And as I've said, anybody who's seen the video, and I've said it on the show, everybody can do something. And I just had enough, and I decided to do something that I thought I could do, change the world one T-shirt at a time. And the people I have met since I've opened my doors, like Tamika, who did 16 months in Afghanistan, lost her job, went through her savings. This is a typical story.
Right.
Living in her car, looking for work in her car while her kids live with her sister, gets the kids on the weekend, tells them that they are camping.
Right.
So they don't know that she's homeless. Goes to a homeless shelter, almost gets raped, escapes, gets back in her car. This is how we treat our veterans? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and without having the resource. So you're changing lives one at a time and two at a time and three at a time. And the upside for you listening today is you order from ragsofhonor.us and ragsofhonor.org. You'll get quality products made by Americans in America.
Yep.
And on this Memorial Day, it's a small way for you to pay it forward. I want to talk to David Hochberg a second about this, too, because I know what a big fan of Hochberg you are,
yes,
we are.
Yes, God.
You have talked about, because I don't know anybody more patriotic than you, you have talked about helping out these folks as they get back on their feet through a, right, you know, kind of a joint idea with Mark and teaching them how to be financially, you know, reliable.
Right. We're going to start up a credit enhancement program with his employees that as they start getting money and start putting money away in bank accounts and start saving money, they start learning how to build their credit back. Because a lot of these folks go away, they let their credit go to a heck in a handbasket, and they don't have any credit, or they have completely fallen off the grid after serving.
Or, like Tamika, she lost her job. She couldn't make her car payment.
Right.
They take her car back. Now she's got it, a brick on her credit report. It's happened to almost everybody who's worked for me.
Right. Sure.
They just needed a year's worth of a steady income to get back on their feet. So what you've done for Tamika and what you are doing is stage three, what we're calling of our, you know, re-engagement.
Yeah, and we're just putting, listen, knowledge is power, right? Yeah. So if you educate the people as to what they need to do, we just did a credit seminar last night out in St. Charles, right? We loaded the room with 150, 200 some people, and it was like a huge sponge, right? I mean, everybody was soaking in the information because there's no place to get the information that we give. And it's the same thing that we're doing with your employees. It's like, okay, here's how you get a pulse again, right? You get back on the credit grid. Could you have fallen off the credit grid? Or, okay, you've had so many challenges in the past, which is fine. Listen, that's great. You served our country. Let's build yourself back. Okay, there's resources out there. Then when they get themselves back, there's VA loans out there that all these men and women have qualified for fighting for a country by being active military for more than 90 days and being in harm's way. They've got the entitlement built up to go buy a home with no money down and no PMI, but they need some type of credit structure. And what we're doing, helping them enhance their credit and rebuild their credit, strengthen their credit and what you're doing with the jobs. We're going to start putting these folks back into homes, Steve, one at a time. And, you know, we're going to put them back on the grid and get them into home ownership and, you know, back to where they want to be, which is just functioning Americans in society, which is they're not asking for a handout.
They just make some better neighbors, right? It makes them better citizens when they have a job to go to. And by the way, one of the things that you know, because you do this every day and I've seen it, when you get so buried in debt and it's not really you've been trained, like Tamika was a small arms instructor, you get so petrified. You don't know what to do next, right?
Right. You're free,
like you are so afraid, like you don't even know where to go next.
Some people get frozen.
You get frozen and you do nothing, right? And then it gets worse. And so what you have done is unlock their ability to get back on track and see that there is a path beyond this, right? And it is so important and so empowering.
It's Rags of Honor. And when you go to the Rags of Honor website, Rags of Honor, you can donate still. But you know, if you're going to send some money in, why not get a shirt? Yep. RagsofHonor.us. And you can get the beautiful Rags of Honor shirt, the sweatshirts, the hoodies when it's cold again because it's been such a beautiful spring.
Well,
all of those. But on this Memorial Day where we finally have some decent weather, you're thinking summer, and you got a great summer line of stuff there.
We do. In fact, one of the things we really want to focus on the online store because we think we can reach more people. We are going to have a T-shirt of the Month Club starting in June where you sign
up.
Good
idea.
We're working with local designers.
So like a membership kind of thing.
Yeah, a membership.
Yeah.
And we posted something on Facebook. We got four young local designers who are going to work with us. And we're going to try and get 20 new designs up every month.
Cool.
Men, women, children's designs. And so we have a little bit more for people to choose from. And then into the fall, we're going to be doing zip-ups and crew necks again. And, of course, knit caps, rugby shirts. And we're going to really try and become an apparel company because you know I have so much knowledge of this.
Yeah. And, by the way, you didn't even know how to buy a T-shirt, let alone make one when you started this company.
Did not.
But I challenge your listeners, Steve.
Sure.
To when you're placing the order for the T-shirts, when you're placing the order for your company like I did, when you're placing the order for your softball teams and your baseball teams, you're placing the order. Place it with the local company doing good for local veterans. I just don't understand why more people don't do it. And it's not a price thing. It's just a re-education and relearning and reteaching the society out there that you're there and you can handle all of this work, handle it easily. And I was there when we had WGN-TV out when you were running my shirts. And how proud they were. And I was talking to the guys on the presses and they're like, hey man, really appreciate the business. Thanks for putting us to work. And I'm like, dude, thank you. What are you thanking me? Thank you. Right. Like, you know, I appreciate what you've done to enable me to buy the shirts, to enable you to run through the presses. Yeah. So I encourage all the listeners out there, go to ragsofhonor.us, ragsofhonor.org. And place those orders in bulk orders so these men and women can keep working and you can hire more men and women to run those presses.
And as you know, you both know, I don't take anything out of this company. And on our foundation side, on the .org.
By the way, Mark is our friend. Literally, he doesn't take anything out of this company. And he's about to start leaving his pants and his shoes and other things there.
I'm taking bottles and cans back to make ends meet.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
recycle aluminum. But our foundation is probably the only one in the country that does not have an executive director.
Right.
So if $150 comes in, $150 goes out.
Nobody gives back 100% of what they make to a charitable organization like this, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I salute you for it.
Thank you.
RagsofHonor.us, RagsofHonor.org. It's Mark Doyle, a regular guest on the show because he's a friend, but he keeps doing things that I tell him are stupid ideas, and he keeps changing the world. It's a brilliant idea. It's a beautiful idea. And on Memorial Day, I think entirely appropriate because those who we've lost who served America, they'd be proud of you for helping this out.
Well, thank you. And it's just a simple way to say that you walk the walk and that you actually care about those who wore the uniform and those who went before us. It's a $23 T-shirt, and it makes a difference.
Tell your friends, buy them corporately, buy one for everyone you've ever met, and you'll be a better person. By the way, I can't guarantee you'll get into heaven. I don't have that kind of pull, but it couldn't hurt. We continue with our Memorial Day specialty programming here, if you will. David Hochberg's here. I'm Steve Cochran. Thank you for listening. 720 WGN. Tom Day joins us now as we continue on 720 WGN Memorial Day. A bit of special programming here as we remember those who served this country and the lives we've lost, too, which is the basis of Memorial Day that we sometimes forget. We thank Wintrust Community Banks, of course. And, Tom, thank you for your service. Your rank is?
I was a gunnery sergeant.
And where were you stationed?
Well, mostly Glenview, Parris Island, and stateside. We didn't have much going on then. I joined 10 November 57, and it was kind of quiet at that time. So I finished up my 8 years as a plane captain and running the darkroom for the 2nd Marine Air Wing, and doing all the pictures and things like that, teaching drill.
Well, what I always say to guys who talk about not serving in an active combat zone is you served.
Right. Oh,
you served, and you served with distinction. When did you become a bugler?
When I was about 7 years old in a drum and bugle corps out in Norwood Park, called the Norwood Park Imperials, and I was in the B Corps and started on cymbals and worked my way up, and they needed a horn player, and I got to be a horn player, and I heard taps, and I thought, I got to learn that.
Sure.
So I practiced down in the basement of our house and everything, and then one day at practice, the VFW comes over from the neighborhood, one of our sponsors, and they said, can any of you kids play taps? And I raised my hand, and in 1950, I played my first taps, and since then, I've done 5,000 more.
How about that?
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? You're the creator of an organization called Bugles Across America. What is that organization about, and how did you get it started?
Well, they passed a law in November 1999 that every veteran could have a military funeral, at least two people to fold and present the flag. And then they came on the TV and said, and since there are no buglers, we're going to use a recording. And I happened to be watching that TV show.
You thought, well, that's wrong.
And that's exactly what I said. And I called Washington, and I said, there's plenty of buglers. And they said, we don't have the time to find them. Why don't you? So I did. I found 5,000 of them. And since then, we've done 200,000 funerals.
Wow. That's amazing.
Free for the families of the fallen. And war dogs, and people call us now for the Memorial Day ceremonies. And we have a website, www.buglesacrossamerica.org.
This isn't just for Illinois. This is throughout the entire United States, right, Tom?
Coast to coast, and in Germany, and also by Normandy. We have a horn player there that I gave a horn. And when the people come and visit Normandy, he'll sound taps free for them, too, and kind of take care of the visitors over there.
This is something that is exceptionally special because there needs to be closure and an appropriate salute, a musical salute, and taps, of course, is that. And we're going to have you do that in just a second because we think it's the right way to end this programming on Memorial Day. But before we do that, I think back to 2000 in 1999 when you heard this story. And you're a guy that was pre-internet. That's not calling you old, my friend.
Well, I am old.
Yeah. And how did you find 5,000 people? That's a lot of phone calls. I mean, how did you do it?
Well, I had about 15 or 20 of my drum corps people and in the neighborhood.
Okay, now we're down to 4,980.
Right. And then we talked and went on the internet, and it just started to add up. And then basically what happened was People Magazine called me.
Oh, okay.
And they says, we'd like to do an article on you.
CNN is how I found Tom.
Yeah.
I saw a story
yeah.
on CNN.
Got some national press going.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And also Wall Street Journal called. And they said, we want to come and do a story on you. So they came and about in 2002, and we had about 300 members. And I was running the lottery up and down this street and downtown, going from store to store as a foot soldier. And so I go into this one store, and the guy looks at me, And he said, God, you know, the Wall Street Journal, they have a caricature on their front page. Looks just like you. And I went over and I made the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And the next day I had 1,250 horn players.
So it just expanded as the word got out.
And then it just kind of went like that. Different news people like yourself.
One of your kids of the day is one of his buglers, right, Tom? How did that come about? A seven-year-old is part of your crew now.
Right. We have a nine. It's actually, he's a nine-year-old, and his father called me. And he said, you know, how young are they? And I said, well, nine. Seven, eight, nine.
If they can play, they're welcome.
Right. And he said, well, if you want to come and audition him, he's doing a duet with Chris Botti at the Philadelphia harmonic place there.
Yeah.
I said, well, he's better than I am. So
the kid's exceptional. The former kid of the week is what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just, and then high school kids in music class. You had, I think, a girl on one time, and Grace Aducci, and she was the kid of the week. And now at 17, she's going to play taps at the firing at the memorial on next week. Saturday for the big parade that we have.
How many personally have you done?
Myself, 5,000.
No, you've done 5,000. Mm-hmm. There's no way anyone with a beating heart could ever get to a point where it's just a routine thing. How do you do it emotionally?
Well, that's the thing. To me, it's my opera song. It's only a minute and a couple seconds. And when I get a mission to go, I get there early. I'm wearing the uniform. I check out with the military who are going to fold. We get our plan together. And then I concentrate on what I'm going to do.
And doing the service and doing it appropriately for those who we've lost.
And when I get the cue, I raise the horn and set it right over the casket in that direction. So it sends a message to the Marines who are guarding the gate in heaven that this guy got live taps and he's going right in.
So there's people listening right now who are thinking about somebody they lost. You know, I remember my own father's military funeral, and as the folding of a flag occurred on this beautiful little country cemetery, you could have heard a pin drop for miles. That moment is exceptional.
And yes.
Being able to stand up and play taps at that point, I can't imagine how difficult it is. But I have so much respect for you for doing this, because it's what these guys, these men and women, deserve.
Well, the families, I mean, it's their son, it's their father, uncle, it's somebody they reach, and it's time to pay back. And it's time to pay back. And that's just my feeling, and I just love to pay respect, and the people that have joined me to do this are of the same family, so...
Is there a service in particular that sticks out in your mind where maybe, you know, it, for whatever reason, it just struck you more than others have?
Well, actually, it is. It's somewhat interesting. I got out to by Cantigny.
Yeah, Cantigny.
And there's Assumption Cemetery almost right across the street there. And I get there early all the time, and I see the tent set up, and then I saw... holy cow, this is, I look at the thing with the casket, and it's all stainless steel. I walked over, and there's engravings of battle scenes, and then he had an engraving of a bugler on there, and I thought, wow, that's something. So I brought flags, the flag, Army flag, and the U.S. flag, set them up, put my shelter half down, laid my rifle down, and then it was my turn. And I thought, with all that shiny stuff on there, I'm going to use my chrome bayonet.
Wow.
So I put the chrome bayonet on, and all the people were standing there, the priest, the funeral director, the flag folders, the military, they were all in front, and the family was all watching. And I picked up the rifle, got the first shot off. I fired again, and it was louder for some particular reason. And I looked up, and the bayonet was in the air. And it's 15 feet in the air. Now it's coming towards the tent.
You're
and
kidding.
And the people are hypnotized looking.
As they're watching it spiral through the air.
At the bayonet. And it comes down 6 inches from the Reverend's foot.
Well, you know what? That will stand out in your memory, won't it?
And the funeral director calmly reached down and... And I wasn't going to fire anymore because the front of my rifle blew off. So it was crazy. And I set the rifle down. I picked up the horn, and I was very fortunate to get a perfect taps. And then I came over to the family, and I leaned over, and I said, any shrapnel here?
Right, of course.
And the wife... she was a younger wife because he was a NAM vet.
Uh-huh.
So she said, Tom, we were all in hysterics. I want you to put your hand on the casket.
Oh, sweet as that.
And you're going to feel my husband laughing. He was a practical joker all his life. And this is the memory that we're going to have for him.
How special
is
that?
He couldn't have written this better.
No,
to go out with all of this. And I says, well,
you do that 5,000 more times and it would never happen.
That's goosebumps too.
And I'm so glad you understand the thing. So I was packing my stuff all up, and I was wondering why the priest and his assistant was just standing there watching me do all this. And then I get it all packed up, and he walks over, and he says, I want to shake your hand, Tom, because you really did a fine job and the way you handled it and everything like that. And now I can't wait to get back to Aurora and the rectory and tell the nuns how the bugler tried to kill me today. So he has a story, and I have my story.
It's tremendous. It's just tremendous. When you first learned how to play taps as a little kid, who taught you?
Well, Willie Widmeyer taught me how.
Family friend or a teacher?
No, he was in charge of the little drum and bugle corps at the Park District. My two older brothers were in it, and it was the thing. That we're talking about 1947. And we didn't have Little League, we didn't have television, so it was drum and bugle corps. So that was one kind of a thing where discipline, which has been taken out of our dictionary, was founded, and kids learned how to play the instrument, we learned how to march, we learned to drill, we competed with other units throughout the state, we learned about competition, and that's what we did. And once you get into that, and now we have the Cavaliers from Rosemont, who started in Logan Square. I was a member of that organization for 3 years, and we went all around winning state and national championships for the VFW and Legion. And it just gave me a sense of pride. And if you're not a leader, you become a leader.
Sure. Would you do us the honor of playing?
Oh, absolutely.
For the audience and in memory of all who were lost and for everybody you're missing today, this is Tom Day. Thank you for your service as well, sir, whenever you're ready. Memorial Day, 2016, 720 WGN.